Wall Street plummeting on Monday, the benchmark S&P 500 hitting its lowest level in 14 months. Investors pulling their money from the market, concerned about rising U.S. interest rates and slowing economic growth. U.S. bond fund tycoon Jeffrey Gundlach adding to the sober sentiment on Monday, telling CNBC that the S&P 500 is headed to new lows and that U.S. equities are in a long-term bear market. The pressure coming at a time of year when investors typically look forward to what's known as a Santa Claus rally.
This is Juice, the canine wonder. He's a local celebrity, starring in dozens of Chinese movies and commercials. The little pup next to him is his clone. Sinogene is China's first biotech company to provide pet cloning services. They made headlines last year when they successfully cloned gene-edited beagles. And for about $55,000, half the price of what it would cost in South Korea, He was able to get his very own clone of Juice.
Google parent Alphabet announced on Monday that it's investing over $1 billion for a major expansion of its New York offices. The news comes on the heels of Amazon's announcement earlier this year that it chose New York City as part of its second headquarters. In a blog post, Google said it would lease a large office building in Manhattan's technology corridor along the Hudson River.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Opening Bell. On this December 18th, I'm WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick. I'm with you this morning in for Steve Grzanich. And we've got an interesting show planned for you. Joining me soon will be Matt Kurtzman. He is the CEO of Back to School Illinois. He saw a need, young people who couldn't afford school supplies, and he made it happen. He's getting it to them. He'll tell you how he does it. And also the great success he's having. Later in the show, I'll be talking with Wendy Grahn, who started a really interesting business called Lakeview Kitchen and Market. Why do the cooking when you can have other people do it? You can sell their stuff. They can cater. It's a great business concept if you're looking for something to do. But first, on the Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures up 68 points, the S&P futures up 8 points, and the NASDAQ futures up just under 25 points. Looking at the Europe markets, the DAX is up about 35 points. The FTSE is down about almost 22 points. Over in Asia, the Nikkei is down 391 points. Shanghai down a little over 21 points. Some news that's happening this morning: two benchmark U.S. stock indexes careening towards a historically bad December. Both the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 are on pace for their worst December performance since 1931, when stocks were battered during the Great Depression. Well, the Dow and S&P 500 are down 7.8% and 7.6% this month, respectively. December, typically a very positive month for markets. The Dow has only fallen during 25 Decembers going back to 1931. The S&P 500 averages a 1.6% gain for December, making it typically the best month for the market. That's according to the Stock Traders Almanac. For the past 2 years, with one small exception, the Federal Reserve has raised short-term interest rates once every 3 months. Well, now it appears the slow and steady pace is going to slow to a crawl as the central bank formally adopts a more reactive approach after its policy meeting. The overwhelming consensus of economists is that the Fed is likely to raise its benchmark interest rate by a quarter point. That'll put it in a range between 2.25% and 2.5% at the end of their meeting on Wednesday. Financial markets continue to see over a 75% chance of a move. CBS Corporation said it won't pay former chairman and chief executive Leslie Moonves any of his $120 million severance package after reviewing the findings of a probe into allegations he sexually harassed and assaulted many women during his career. The CBS board of directors said investigators concluded that there were grounds to terminate Mr. Moonves for cause. Mr. Moonves violated company policies, breached his employment contract, and intentionally failed to cooperate fully with the investigation, said the board in a statement. Mr. Moonves forced to resign back in September after the allegations surfaced in articles in The New Yorker and Vanity Fair. Well, joining me now is Matt Kirschman. He's the CEO of Back to School Illinois, an organization, Matt, that is doing wonderful things for kids who otherwise could not afford school supplies. Tell me a bit about what you do and what gave you the incentive to meet this need.
Thank you for having me here this morning. We do some really good and important work at Back to School Illinois. We started back in 2007 with the Community Currency Exchange Association of Illinois. I started this program for them. And there's basically two components to what we do. The first part is we provide college scholarships to high school seniors. And then the major part of what we do is providing school supplies to kids from low-income families. And we do this in partnership with different community organizations, schools, and government agencies throughout the state.
So talk to me about, you know, listen, a lot of people, we've got a lot of entrepreneurs listening in the audience out there wanting to make a difference, wanting to do something, maybe do good and do well at the same time. What led you to do this? I mean, you know, coming up with the idea of I'm going to get school supplies to kids and the scholarships, but that's a pretty unique kind of thing to have occurred to you.
Well, I was very fortunate growing up. I went to good schools, had two engaged parents, and so I had the support system and the structure and everything I needed to learn when I was a kid. And the need obviously is critical in our society, and I just am aware of the unfortunate side of that the teachers are underpaid, the schools are underfunded, and families are struggling.
Actually, and teachers often, you often hear the stories, teachers are spending money out of their own pocket to get their own students school supplies.
Yeah, on average, actually, teachers spend about $479 a year out of their own pocket, something as many as $1,000 or more. And it's unfortunate. I mean, we live in a society where education is paramount to what we do, and that gives opportunities for people to be fulfilled. And so if we don't give them the tools early on, then we're setting them up not to succeed.
So what age range are you working with? I know it's a wide range.
Right. We have we actually serve kids all the way from pre-K to seniors in high school. We have four different types of kits that we give.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because a pre-K kid or somebody who's in first grade, second grade, obviously very different from what you want to supply to somebody who is in their latter years of high school.
Right. So our model that we have is we have four different types of kits. Each are grade appropriate. They all contain about 30 of the core basic supplies that kids need. So in the younger kids' kits, you're going to find things like crayons and construction paper. For our older kids, you'll find things like rulers and spiral-bound notebooks, protractors, things of that nature.
I remember protractors. I never understood it then, and I'm not sure I understand it now. But okay, so you put these kits together, they're age-appropriate. How do you get them to the kids?
We use a multi-prong approach. So in many cases, donations we receive, we partner up with organizations like YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, Operation Homefront in the USO to reach military families. We also work with DCFS to reach foster families and DFSS in a partnership with the City of Chicago to reach children who live in homeless shelters. So some of the funds that we use do that. We also have a very successful program that we launched in 2015, which is our Build-A-Kit program. And this allows corporations who are looking to do more than just write a check to get their employees engaged. So it's a great team-building activity for corporations, and we do these year-round.
Matt, you need help to do what you're doing. We've got a lot of corporate folks who listen to this. How can they help you?
Well, as I explained earlier, our Build-A-Kit program has really taken off, and that's a great opportunity for corporations, law firms, accounting firms, all different types of companies to do a team-building activity. So they basically buy the school supplies from us in bulk. We ship them to them, and then they assemble them, and then they get picked up, and then they get distributed to one of our partners, or the corporations can pick a school that they want to give them to, or a church, or any organization where there's need.
So they're paying for the supplies that you're sending to them.
Yes,
that's how
exactly.
This gets funded.
Yes, and people can also, if they don't have the time to assemble the kits. People can just buy the kits from us, and we've had a number of companies that do that, and then they give them to an organization or a school in their neighborhood that they want to support.
So beyond the supplies, you mentioned a scholarship program. That's important to kids. How much are some of those kids getting, and how do you determine who gets the money?
We have a scholarship program that we've had since the very beginning. Last year, we gave out 11 scholarships each for $2,500. And so we just actually launched our 2019 program. So people can actually go to our website, which is be2si.org. They can download the application, and then we'll award those scholarships at our kickoff dinner, which is May 2nd. Of next year at Galleria Marchetti.
So who funds you? I mean, how do you get the money? I mean, obviously the corporations are buying the kits, but you have to be getting support to do what you do.
Yes, we get funding from a lot of different sources. So we get some grants from corporations. We sell an annual sponsorship every year to the back-to-school program. And some of our larger sponsors, they actually get their name on the kit box. So it's a great opportunity for them to expose their name to a wide variety of folks.
Well, and I said before, one can do well and do good at the same time. That sounds like an example of that, where you have a corporation who putting these things together. But yeah, their name is on it. People know who's doing the sponsoring of that and who's supporting them, and that makes them look good.
Yes, and we also have another program that's completely volunteer that requires no investment. Except time, which is our Notes of Inspiration program. So what we like to do, because self-esteem is a big part of the program, kids who go back to school without school supplies, teachers have reported, you know, they get into trouble more often, they often miss school more often, they don't feel as good about themselves, they don't perform as well on exams and things. So there really is a huge self-esteem component. The Notes of Inspiration, what we like to do is put into each kit a note of support. For a lot of kids who get our kits, they may not get that, depending on their home environment. And so this really gives them an added boost that makes them feel better about themselves. And so what we do is we actually have these 6x8 cards that we can send out to corporations, and they can have their employees fill them out and send them back to us, and then we will put them in our kits that then get distributed.
What I love about this, Matt, is it's a program, so it starts in 2007, but as these years go on, it gets refined. The motivation picks up. You find different ways of really expanding the reach and making it more meaningful for these young people as the years go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, this past summer, we launched Back to School America, which allows folks outside of Illinois to also either buy kits already assembled or to do a Build-A-Kit program. And we've already done some programs in Phoenix and San Antonio, Milwaukee, and Austin, to name a few.
Excellent work. Matt Kurtzman, people want to check you out. Give us the website again.
Be2si.org.
All right. Congratulations on the work you're doing. It's been the holiday season, so you're bringing a lot of happiness to a lot of kids. Matt Kurtzman, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
Paul, always great to see you.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, it's not Steve Grzanich. It's WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick in for Steve this morning, but having a nice time here talking about the business part of the world. A little change from politics for me. That's not a bad thing. Joining me now is the owner of Lakeview Market and Kitchen. I thought, what a great concept this is. Founded, it's operated by Wendy Grine. You'll meet her in just a moment, and her daughter, actually, Maggie O'Brien. It's a mother-daughter team. It is a fully equipped commercial shared kitchen in Lakeview. It's on Broadway, 3109 North Broadway. And I kind of walked in there once, tripped over it, and thought, what an incredible concept this is. People need to know about it. Hey, Wendy, welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Talk to me about what led you and your daughter. I know your daughter is a baker, so that probably triggered it. But, you know, you could have opened just a bakery, but you said, no, we're going to go bigger.
Right. When we first started working together, we were basically doing farmers markets, and my daughter was doing some catering for bar and bat mitzvahs and weddings and things like that. So we were working out of a shared kitchen up in the suburbs. And when both of us moved down into the city, we couldn't find a shared kitchen to work out of. There were a handful, but they were booked all the time and you couldn't get in. So we started thinking, there may be some demand for this business. Opening a bakery can be risky. As people know, restaurants or any kind of food industry is risky. So we thought, well, there might be an opportunity here. We would have our own kitchen. She would have a kitchen to work out of to grow her catering business. But then we would also have some income or money coming in faster because we knew there was demand for the kitchen.
So you did reach out because, and I've been in Lakeview Market. I don't even know how to describe who's in there because it seems that every time I walk in, it's just different. You never know what's going to be there. And so explain as well for listeners, there's that kitchen in the back, but you can buy up front what's getting cooked in the back.
Correct. And that's kind of what our niche is. So we have a 5,000 square foot, it's fully equipped kitchen, and I have close to 40 different businesses, small business food companies working out of our kitchen. So catering companies, farmers market vendors, people that wholesale into coffee shops. But they all source locally when they can. They're doing small batch production. They specialize in what they make. So everything is really good. But our niche is our market space up front. So we have about 15 of our clients sell product up in our market. So when our customers in the neighborhood come in to shop, number one, they love it because they're supporting small business. But number two, they love it because the products are fantastic. So the product will range anywhere from fresh baked croissants, which we will be happy to share with you and your team.
Oh, thank you. Hey, and your daughter makes those croissants,
she does.
I know.
She does make the croissants.
Those are incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. She's specializes in French pastry, so she does do great croissants.
I specialize in eating French pastry.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the perks of my job is getting to taste test everything, and I'm very, very serious about quality control, so, you know, I got to taste it for the people.
That's right.
I'm here
each
for
one.
The people.
So, and again, now sometimes there are, you've had caterers. I mean, I'm going to call them caterers. I know they do cater, but because, I don't cook, so sometimes when I pop by, it'll be that, you know, there's something there that is something I can heat up for dinner or make for dinner, pizzas and all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's just a wide variety of stuff. If you come into our market, nothing makes sense next to each other. I'll have macaroni and cheese next to brownies, which is next to macarons, which might be next to
beef bourguignon.
Or beef bourguignon. Yes. I'm going to have the chef make some more of those. That's Chef Lori from Crave Cuisine. She's extraordinarily talented. So we have savory, we have sweets. It's different all the time, so people can come in. Right now, we have a lot of holiday gift packages that our clients do. For our caterers, it's a great way for them to use any extra product, so there's no waste. So if they're catering a wedding, for example, but they have maybe 5 or 10 extra whatever it is, they can put it up in the market and we sell it.
Well, in fact, I was going to ask you, so if I was renting space in that kitchen, I was going to make something, am I ordering my own food and supplies, and am I having to meet those vendors? Because I know sometimes I'll just walk by there and I'll see people who I assume are chefs going in a side door. So obviously they have 24-hour access or
That's
appear
correct.
To.
Yep, the kitchen's open 24/7. They have to bring in all their own ingredients. We supply storage space so they can put their ingredients on the shelves, and we also have cold storage and freezer storage for them. But they bring everything in. They've got to meet their own deliveries there. They book time with us. We have room for up to six companies.
Well, I was going to ask you that too, because especially holiday time, you could run into a battle of everybody wanting to be in there cooking at the same time. Hey, all the ovens are taken.
Right.
So that has to be structured. Has this been a learning process? This is new for you guys, right? Has it been a learning process? Like, we need a schedule here.
Absolutely. So a lot of the kitchens, clients can book online. We don't do that. We're really hands-on with the scheduling. I never put six bakers in at the same time because I'm afraid there'd be bloodshed over who gets the oven or who gets the 30-quart mixer.
So you're conscious about having a baker with somebody else who's a different kind of a chef or something?
Yes. We keep track of who's coming in and what supplies they might need and what equipment they might need so that we can make it as efficient as possible for them. You know, they're paying us by the hour, so we really don't want to try to keep them longer than they need to be, although that would help us with our revenue. That would put them out of business faster.
Yeah.
Because they're all small businesses. Nobody has extra money to waste waiting around for time that they can't use.
This is a simple question. I mean, because it's really just a sanitation question. But for somebody who goes, you know what, why am I going to come rent space in the kitchen? I want to be a chef. I've got a kitchen. I'm just going to do my own thing and just sell it. So what is the need for having to come to you?
The law.
That pesky little thing called the law.
Pesky little law. Yeah. So if you think about it, your home chef might have a really, really adorable cat that just walked across the counter that now the dough is going to get rolled out on.
Wow. Yeah.
And a health inspector would never know about that home chef. So anybody that's selling food or retailing food in the city of Chicago, at least, has to have a license, and it has to be produced in a commercial kitchen. So we're the kitchen.
So we may have folks listening in who are chefs who are looking for a place to go. So this is sort of, I want to try and ask the questions they would ask. And that is to say, because I notice when I pop in there at holiday time, you have, just recently at Thanksgiving time, there was a guy there and he was making pies.
Yes.
A sweet potato pie and pecan pie. Now, yeah. I don't see him at other times of the year. Maybe he's there, but are there people who say I'm coming in for a season?
We do. We have some people that come in. She does a peppermint bark, so she's literally just in around the holiday season. The pies you're talking about is Grandma Joyce. Now, Grandma Joyce happens to be this really adorable young 20-something man who is cooking his grandma's pies. He just happens to be a new client, so his timing was perfect because he really killed it during the Thanksgiving season.
So if we do have chefs or cooks out there who want to come join you and find out about information, how do they do that?
Yeah, they can find us at Lakeview Kitchen and Market. com. There's a contact button on there, or they can give us a call on our 872-802-4870. And we're happy to give tours of the kitchen, show you around, and tell you all the licensing and requirements that you need to work there.
And for folks like me who don't cook, we just want to eat, we can just walk in the store.
Yeah, you just come on in the market and we'll show you all the goodies.
All right, the address again?
3109 North Broadway.
Okay, congratulations.
Thanks.
You and Maggie have really done some great stuff. Wendy Grahn, the owner of Lakeview Market and Kitchen. Check them out at 3109 North Broadway.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. This is WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick in for Steve on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Let's get an update on the futures numbers from CNBC. Dow futures showing up about 0.4, 43 points. The S&P futures up about 4.5 points as well. NASDAQ futures up about 0.6. And just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, December 18th. Sorry about that. We're going to go into a quick check with the ABC News. Here's Michelle Franzen.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Everything's bigger in Texas, even Apple. The world's most valuable company is looking to bring its high-tech operation to a 133-acre site in Texas. Apple's new $1 billion Austin campus would be the company's largest outside Cupertino. Deirdre O'Brien is Apple's vice president of people.
We'll start with 5,000 seats in the first phase, and we'll have the ability to expand to 15,000 in total over time. This makes Apple.
She and Austin City Mayor Steve Adler say they're looking forward to the new jobs this move will create.
Apple is deepening their investment in our people, in our counties, in our region, and in our city.
And this is just part of a larger expansion. The tech giant will also build new offices in Seattle, San Diego, and Culver City, all development expected within the next 3 years. With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
All right, Michelle, thank you. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the outlook for today, Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. The Federal Open Market Committee begins their two-day meeting with Wall Street, anticipating a decision on the next interest rate hike. The Census Bureau reports on monthly housing stats. A number of companies are expected to report earnings today, so we're going to keep our eyes out for ABM Industries, FedEx, iHeartMedia, AAR Corporation, while General Mills and Rite Aid report earnings tomorrow. That's just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, December 18th.